When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you allowed to ban people from coming to your funeral? Like, I'm sure we all have a mental list now of people we would not want to be at our funerals because we're still mad at them for things they did 30 years ago. But her mom has given her a list of people saying, like, I don't want these people to show up. Is that enforceable? That's a brand new Ask My Mom today on the show. Welcome.
Hi, my name's Kramer, and I am proud to admit that I am a mama's boy.
You're not just any mama's boy. You're a certified mama's boy. And this is the Certified Mama's Boy Podcast.
What's up? Yeah, hi. Welcome to this, it's the 30th. Today's the 30th of January, a time of release. It is our podcast. It's based in three principles. It's live, laugh, love your mom. That means we live our lives out loud, we laugh a lot, and we love my mom. My co-host, Nancy Yancey. Hi, Mom.
Hi, honey.
I don't understand why in the world anybody watches sports. I need someone to explain sports to me because I've tried now for 40 years. Probably not 40. When did you start watching sports? 7. And so 33 years. And I just can't quite understand why anyone likes to watch sports. Doesn't really make sense to me at all. I live in a football city for the first time.
Oh, boy, do you ever.
And it's a weird world. It's a weird place to live because I'm just not used to living in places where people are like diehard about their sports team, right? Like, for example, let's just go over previous cities really quick. Tampa, when I lived there, nobody cared about the Buccaneers at all. There was zero passion for it, right? I mean, before that was Atlanta when the Falcons were, you know, nobody. Well, that's not true, actually. The Falcons may have been pretty good. That was like back when Michael Vick and all that were playing. I just don't think I had an interest in it. So then I moved to Phoenix, and nobody cared about the Cardinals at the time. Then I moved to San Diego, where the Chargers actually left because nobody was going to the games anymore. So I've not been around football, but living in a football city, and it was Sunday night was the playoff game for the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, boy.
I'm going to sit here. I'm going to be a good participant. And even though I know I'm not going to care that much about this, I am going to sit here and watch a full football game. And I'm going to literally, wow. And I couldn't literally physically watch it because of my eyes, but I can watch at least, let's just say 70% without looking away, looking back, looking away, looking back. I don't understand why y'all go through that. I was thinking, and like, it was about a 3-hour game, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, this is a long time to emotionally invest into anything, right? Like, I can't think of 3 hours a week I give to literally anything. And most of y'all, if you're sports fans, you like, you know, you'll keep up with the, what do you call it, the off days and the ESPNs and the sports centers and the stats and the traveling and the drama. Yeah, like y'all really get into it. On the other hand, don't see, like, I don't invest, with the exception of now Legos, obsessing over that a little bit. But here's the deal. So I started breaking it down. Okay, so let me try to understand this. This is the real research. Is in a football game, only about 8% of the broadcast is the actual game itself. The rest of it is either, because I'm like, this is a shit ton of commercials. Like, it's literally like they play one play.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll play 5 minutes of commercials, and they'll play one play, and they'll play five more minutes of commercials. And I'm like,
that's big business.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So, yeah, it's 8% of the whole 3 hours. You're watching about 8% of an actual football game going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's just like, there's nothing else in the world where people would, you know, if I said, hey, you want to go to the movies, but you're only going to be able to see 8% of it, you'd be like, no thanks. Or, hey, why don't we go fly on a plane that has an 8% success rate? You'd be like, no thanks. Like, I'm good. there's no reason in the world to like to watch it, right? So that you're watching 80%. On top of that, it's literally a losing game. Like, you got to keep in mind, the point of it is to win, right? And that's when you get emotionally excited. The odds are not in your favor at all. Like, only one team at the end of the day can win, right? Like, only one team. So, like, for example, football, only one team's going to win the Super Bowl. So every other team eventually is going to lose. Now, I was watching Jess's Insta story, and she was like crying tears. Now, she's obviously a really emotional person, but I'm like, let me get this straight. You're investing 3 hours a week, plus you're only getting 8% of what you're actually investing in. And then like you're emotionally crying over it, because even though you know that like most likely you're going to lose, you know, like every team but one will lose by the end of the season. So unless you just happen to have the one team that wins the Super Bowl, eventually you're going to go through like the loss of your team. Right?
That's true.
So like, what? Why? Why? Mom, you got caught up in the Braves last year.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's going to be a losing game. Now, I don't know the stats on baseball. I was looking at football when it came to like actual percentage of, you know, of the game. But I'm assuming it's a lot of the same thing. It is you're watching a lot of commercials. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, obviously the Braves lost. So you're going to end up just being disappointed and sad and feel like a sad emotion. Mm-hmm. Why do sports people like it doesn't add up to me? Like, what?
Well, your team doesn't always lose.
But they will eventually. They will eventually lose, though, right? Like,
yeah, but that's the whole spirit of the game, is that you're hoping they won't, and that they'll be the champions. And for me, you know, I watch the Braves and I watch the Hawks. Mainly because your dad enjoys sports so much, and I've decided, well, I can support the home teams, right? And enjoy that with him. And, you know, I get personally involved with them. Like, I love the stories of the players, and, you know, if one of them's down and out, I want them to do well.
But, like, go watch a movie then.
You know,
like you just go watch a movie or like a documentary.
Honestly,
or something.
I would prefer a movie over sports. I just do it because your dad likes it.
I mean, maybe I'm too logical. Everyone tells me I'm just too logical. I need to like get out of my logic brain sometimes. But like when I'm sitting there last night and I'm like, it felt like shit. Even me that was like invested even just 3 hours of my life into it, I was like, This doesn't make me feel good at all. I actually feel terrible by the end of this. Like, I can't imagine doing this for, you know, whatever, 4 months at a time, and then just only to be disappointed in the end. It just doesn't really add up to me at all. I remember this one time. So when I went to Tampa, when I lived in Tampa, the Rays were in the playoffs, and that's baseball, in case you don't know. And I lived right across from Tropicana Field, the Trop. And I was like, well, I don't really care that much about it. And I do like to go to baseball games. It's fine. But I would have no huge interest in following any team, right? But I'm like, you know what? Like, this is a pretty cool once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to probably go to a playoff game or a World Series or whatever. I was like, I'm going to – and this is back in the day before you could buy tickets online. So I was like, I'm going to walk over there after the game starts, and if there's somebody selling tickets that are cheap enough, then, like, I'll buy some, right? So I found a guy that was selling, like, 200-level seats, like the press box area seats for, like, $200 each. And I'm like – Now that ticket nowadays would be probably $5,000, but you know, back then $200 is a lot of money. And I'm like, man, I don't know. Okay, well, I mean, again, when is this ever going to happen again? And back then you had to worry about them being fake too. So you're like, I don't know if this is fake. I'm really risking it. So I said, all right, here's $200. My ex-wife and I went to the game, and it was games
for both of you.
It was per ticket, I think. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure it was per ticket, which y'all know for me, especially $400. Like we ain't doing that. So when I It was game seven of the playoffs, I believe. I don't think it was the World Series. I'm pretty sure it was the playoffs. I don't think I'd have been able to get into the World Series. And they lost game seven. And the feeling of, oh my God, I just paid $400 to come in here and have the saddest exit of my life. Like that feeling of walking out of that stadium was the most, probably like top 20 most depressing feelings that I can ever remember being around. And I'm like, I can't imagine. I'm thinking about the Ravens game yesterday. There's 70,000 people there. Can you imagine? And most of them, let's be honest, what is it? What is 80% minimum Ravens fans at the minimum, if not more? What do you think that felt like? That felt like shit. Yeah, that had to feel like absolute shit walking out of that stadium. And I'm like, imagine now if you paid, because the cheapest ticket I found, because I was just kind of, because honestly what I was doing is I was doing Legos and I was watching the game and I would sporadically I would hop on the phone and I would check ticket prices. So I was like, maybe they'll start going down as it goes. They kind of just stayed. The cheapest ticket was about $900 that I could find on game day. And I'm like, okay, let's just even imagine you paid the base price, right? So let's say you paid $900. How must that have felt?
I know Jim and I say that a lot when our teams lose.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, thank God we didn't spend, $1,000 to go out there, because then you've got concessions and all that too.
Yes.
Just the merchandise. See that blessing. Yeah.
Like all of it. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I literally feel so bad to like have to like. I feel bad for them to have to like walk out of that stadium feeling like shit. I know one of my coworkers went to the game and she was saying like, oh my God, like it was, because I was watching her Insta story and it was like, yeah, game day, pregame. Here's this person. I'm at the stadium. Here's the flyover for the Star Spangled Banner. Here's the first down. Yeah. And then like slowly the pictures like, and I'm like, then there's nothing else. And then nothing else. And I'm like, man, that was a disappointment. I'm going to say this, and I prove me wrong on that. Like, I would love for you to prove me wrong. You can call if you want to, like, if you're a sports fanatic, explain to me, if you know it's a losing game and by all odds, you know that like you're most likely, unless you live in Kansas City or you root for the Chiefs, most likely you're going to lose at least at some point in the game. Like why? What draws you to keep on coming back? If you look at the stats and say, I know I'm going to be disappointed by the end of the season, I know it's going to suck. So that's the only sports commentary I'm ever going to have on this podcast. Because other than that, I was watching the game. And I'm like, I honestly don't even know how like half this game works. I don't even know. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I'd have to like pick it up as they were talking about it. The commentary. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I guess then what they're doing. But that was, I'm not the kind of guy you want to like invite to the, your Super Bowl party, because it's just not it. Not it for me.
You'd be such a downer at a Super Bowl party.
Oh, I'd be so mad. I actually
like the sports.
No.
And you don't like the food. And
no.
You don't like the drink. And you don't like people. What would there be there for you?
And that's what I was joking about with my coworker that went, because she got invited last minute, because I guess my company has like a booth or a box there or whatever. And she got in, and it's usually just like, the higher ups and their friends and clients and whatever. So I guess she got invited to go last minute. And I was like, I can't imagine how much I would have hated that experience, because I'd be sitting there watching a football game sober with everyone else is like drinking, having a good time, going crazy. And I couldn't eat anything. And I don't understand the game going on. And it would just be like so much small. Here's what I recommend for those that like, I would love for you to do the social experiment and tell me how you do. Some people may be able to do this, but I don't think most of us would. Go to a drinking thing and don't drink and tell me if you have a good time. Because I it's like so hard for me to go to drinking things. I'm not like, dinners are fine, but like, let's say a football game. I dare you to go to a sport with everyone else drinking and you're not drinking. or go to a party and you're not drinking. Even doing dry January, like you get like a taste of how awkward it can be sometimes being the only sober person at a drinking establishment or activity. It's a very, even though I love being sober, I love it, but I just can't imagine going to watch a football game and not drinking, especially with coworkers. That might break my sobriety. I keep waiting for
no one else there can imagine that either.
I know. That's why I don't get invited to these things, man. That's why I don't get invited.
Like, what?
I know.
No alcohol. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm headed to the bar.
Nobody would want to hang out with me. That's fine. Wait, so the babies are coming home today, I guess, technically.
Babies are coming home.
So in case you don't know, my sister had triplets about a month and
December 20th.
Yeah, about a month and a week ago. And we have been, my mom, if you can't tell, is in the Knoxville studios today, aka the townhouse that she's renting. Which it's so echoey over there. We're talking about this on More Mama's Boy, our Thursday show, and we're trying to get this, my mom's levels right. I don't hear the breath noises today, but I do hear a lot of background noise. So forgive us as we're trying to figure out the different setups. But when we say Knoxville Studios, just know that literally is kind of our inside joke because literally we don't have studios and it just sounds fancier. So she does have a new laptop, by the way, though. We will say that.
Furnished by certified fans.
Yeah, that's right. That came out of our certified fans budget, by the way. So thank you for all those to contribute, because without that, we were about to shut the podcast down with how bad the last laptop was. So we now have a new laptop that we're working with. Well, a new refurbished laptop, which apparently works just great, right?
It's working fantastic. I love it.
Yep. So thank you, by the way, for everyone that made that possible. So my mom is back in Knoxville this week. And did you know that the babies were coming home?
Not until, yesterday.
So what's the story here?
Well, we were waiting for them to get off the feeding tube, which meant that they had to have X number of ounces of milk per day from a bottle, right? And then Maggie breastfeeds them too sporadically, but you can't really keep up with that. So she's been pumping her breast milk and freezing it. She's been such a good mom. So proud of her. And they've been giving them that. And yesterday when I went, I was holding Charlie and it was time for him to eat. And he took his bottle. He took the whole thing. And he was the only one that still had his feeding tube in, because the other two, Jack and Rollins, had started, taking their bottle earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And so we knew, Rollins is 6 pounds now. She is so cute.
That's a real life baby now.
Exactly. She's gone from 4 pounds at birth to 6 pounds.
Yeah.
And so a third more, right?
Sure.
And so we were expecting her to come home. And then Maggie, was saying, last night or night before last, she was saying, it's going to be so hard if, one or two of them come home and the others don't, then we've got to go to the hospital too. And somebody's got to be here for the babies at home and yada, yada, yada. And we were like, I said, we'll just have to cross that bridge when we come to it. We don't know what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, she called the night nurse. Or she called the nurse this morning, and the nurse said, Dr. Dodo, I don't know what his name is.
Listen, if you ever walk into a doctor's office and your doctor's name is Dr. Dodo, don't go there. Don't go there.
Actually, I shouldn't say that, because all the doctors there have been really superb.
And they probably listen. Now those kids are not coming home. They're like, fuck these people. Right. One more month.
There's 10 of them that rotate are keeping an eye on these babies. So anyway, one of them said, yeah, they're ready to go. And so the nurse said, she said, the doctor said they can all three go home today. This is like 9:30 in the morning. And Maggie and I are looking at each other like, what? Today? Yeah. Not today. Maggie's I don't know that I'm ready. Like, this is really a surprise. Like, I thought maybe... Rollins would, but anyway.
Well, she didn't. It's almost like my sister didn't think that they were ever going to come home. And like, obviously, you know, they're going to come home. And like every day she's like, I just want them to come home. But it's almost like she wasn't planning on them actually coming home. And now that they're like, well, they can go home. She's like, what? They're coming home. So you guys ran around all day yesterday trying to get everything put together because
we want everything perfect.
What else was left to do? Because again, they've been here for 6 weeks.
I know. Just to hang a picture in the, you know, in the nursery and to, you know, just to organize stuff a little bit differently. Like Maggie just wants everything to be perfect. Of course she does. They're so precious.
Let's get a clap for that. Let me see if we can clap. Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah. I just realized we can play sound effects on this this program that we're using. So we're gonna clap for clap for the babies. I mean, how are you feeling about that? Are you?
Oh, I'm so excited.
So three will be home as of today.
Yeah, that's
a big deal. So obviously, the story should start getting interesting. How long are you in Knoxville for?
Until February 6th.
Which is
I'll be back on the 11th. It's a week from Tuesday.
Okay.
A week from, tomorrow. A week from today.
Okay.
As this airs.
So then on Thursday, our more Mama's Boy show, we'll have some more baby updates with actually the babies being home for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And that will be, I'm sure, a sigh of relief for everyone be able to kind of relax.
Such a beautiful thing.
Did you say that someone was trying to steal a baby out of the NICU?
I don't know the full story, but Maggie just texted me today. Let me see if I can find that text.
Because I told y'all. Now, if you're new to our podcast, you didn't hear the episode of my sister when I went to go meet my nieces and nephews. I was saying the security here seems a little loose. Like, I just walked up to the door and I was like, oh, I'm here to see the Murray triplets. And they were like, oh, we don't have you on the list. And I was like, oh, okay, well, my sister knows I'm coming. And they were like, oh, okay, cool, come on in. Like honor system. It's like the honor system. Like, she literally was like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, sure, if you say so, then come on in, no problem. And I was like, okay. And they opened the door and I walked right in and started just like touching the babies. I'm like, this doesn't seem right.
To wash your hands first.
Well, I know, but the point is I was joking when I said like you could just go in there and take any baby you wanted, but it sounds like, is that what actually happened today?
No, this is what it said. She says something scary happened here. One of the dads was on drugs and got aggressive and they had to call the cops up here.
Oh.
Now I'm like, should I take them home tonight? And I was like, oh. I said, I mean, I'm sure it's fine, but no, she said, I said, oh, with exclamation points. And she said, I mean, I'm sure it's fine, but still. And I said, that's scary, but hopefully they'll tighten security there. And has that ever happened before? And she said, I'm sure it has. And I said, ask your nurse and trust her. And she said, yes.
Yeah, it's gotta be weird you gotta like leave your kids there. I'm sure that has to be a really just human nature.
Yes. No.
You know.
You wanna be with your babies all the time.
I get it.
And you wanna take care of them. You don't want someone else taking care of them all the time.
Right.
And Maggie and John were really getting antsy after a month. I mean, like
it's a long time.
20th, they're like, okay. You know, let's be sure we know what's going on here. And, you know, it was the amount of milk they were taking. And I said, well, Maggie, you don't want to, you know, push them too hard and then you have to take them back. I mean, that'd be terrible. Yeah.
So, I want to argue one thing you said, though, when you said that there's no parent that wants someone else to take care of their kids all the time. I'm sure there's someone listening right now that'd be like, actually, that sounds kind of lovely to have someone. to actually have someone available to take care of your children at all times. Actually, it does sound like a blessing to some of you. Perspective is everything, right? And I was in therapy on Friday, and this is when I say therapy, this is like my talk therapy, my EMDR therapy that I've been doing. I talked about this on More Mama's Boy, but just a quick summary is like, I'm not doing good. I'm not like I, for some reason, my health is really gone to hell since I've been back from Jamaica. I was like making some good progress. And for some reason, I don't know, but for whatever reason, I got back from Jamaica and like everything that I've been working on now for months is kind of feels like it's not working right anymore. My eyes are bad again. My They're just burning. I'm having this really, I mean, like, y'all, I woke up this morning just, and I, the second that I got out of bed, I just started spinning. And I'm like, I didn't do anything yet. I haven't done anything. Like, usually it's like if I watch TV too long or if I, you know, do some kind of weird motion, like I'll get dizzy. But like, I just got out of bed. I was like, whoa. And like, I am frustrated. I'm really burned out. Anyway, here's the point. So I'm in therapy. And I'm just, you know, I'm telling my therapist, I'm like, yeah, it's really hard. And, you know, some days I just have to go home and just like put my eye mask on and just lay there because I just can't even like do anything else. And she's like, you know how much I wish I could just go home and lay down and put an eye mask on some days? like, okay, touche. Like, yeah, I guess there's any worse things that could be happening, but I see where you're going with this. So perspective is a funny thing. Well, I'm excited about the babies, and we'll do more updates on Thursday once they're actually home. I do want to get Dramaggy on eventually when she has a second.
Good luck.
Yeah. I don't know when, but I know that everybody wants to kind of, there's like a million questions you have. Now that she's home, it may be easier to like set a time up versus like before where she's at the hospital all day, every day, you know? So anyway,
yeah, give her some time on that, on a schedule of some sort.
We'll do our quote for today.
Okay. It's from Colson Whitehead. If it's true for you, it is true for someone else, and you are no longer alone. Yeah, it's just one of those reminders. We talk about this a lot. Reach out, let someone know that you need help, that you need support, because I guarantee you for every person you tell, they will know 10 other people, if it's not them, that are going through the same thing or that have gone through the same thing. And you will feel so much better just knowing that you're not alone in the world. And this is the only person, you know, you're the only person this could possibly happen to. And you saw that in your divorce, and now you're seeing that, you know, with your concussion.
I mean, I don't know that I'm necessarily seeing with a concussion, just FYI. I don't know. I'm like,
well, you are. A lot of people have reached out to you.
Even my doctors 4 months later are like, I don't really know what to tell you anymore. I'm like, okay, well, this is not good. But I do think
supporting
that
you.
There's a lot of people that you'd be surprised. I mean, how many things have we talked about in this podcast? And like, I've kind of dedicated my life, I guess, so far to like being the uncomfortable sounding board. And some of you guys are great about it. I see some of you guys post about it on social media, share your story. And I think it's so powerful because, again, we don't have the... everybody complains about social media, right? Oh my God, social media is so terrible. But I think that honestly, social media is really also, because they're right, it's really terrible at times, but it also has given everyone the opportunity to kind of like share their story a little bit more often. True or false story. I think you can share your fake story too, but I think some of you guys are really good about being vulnerable and sharing what you're going through. And I think that's really powerful. And I applaud you for doing that, you know, to be able to talk about like the hard things.
Yes.
I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying just to be out here just talking. I mean, I think that's probably most of the reason of why you're here right now is because you probably heard one of these terrible trials and tribulations I've been through in the last couple of years. And you're like, hey, okay, I can relate to this guy. I can, you know, I'd say that's probably why most of you, like some of you came for the wacky radio bits, but you're still here at this point. Then there's something about you that likes to share the human experience, you know, like you like to have this more authentic look at our lives. And, you know, we have the radio shows and those are great. And, you know, they're dramatic at times and they're funny and they're comedy and they're goofing around. And, you know, I think Jess and I try to do a good job of being transparent, but it's way different. It's way different because we can't like, I got like, okay, I got a 3 minute break, like 4 minute break, whatever. We got to like, okay, talk about these. It's not the same as you're going to get, especially with Certified Mama's Boy. So thank you for letting me share my story. Thank you for sharing your story. For those that are brave enough to talk, and if you're not, there's no problem. I don't want to like, guilt anybody into sharing your story.
No.
But for those that do, I think it's awesome that like you get
it
the opportunity.
It'll help you. It'll help someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, Thursday's show is our More Mama's Boy show, and that is a bonus podcast that we give you every Thursday. It's the show is called More Mama's Boy. You cannot find it in your app store or your podcast players. It's only a fan subscription show, so it's a $6 a month contribution. If you want a whole another episode of Certified Mama's Boy, on Thursdays, typically. And like I said, I'm pretty committed to being here for the next couple months, y'all. Like, I'm not going anywhere, honestly. I can't travel anymore until I feel better. It's so stressful on me. It's like, it's just not it for me right now. It's not doing what traveling should be doing. So I am here in the state of Baltimore. Wait, that's not a state. I'm here in the city of Baltimore for the foreseeable future. And hopefully, God willing, we have Tuesday, Thursday show for quite some time. But yeah, if you don't subscribe to More Mama's Boy, it's our certified fan show. Hopefully you will, you know, like we just said with the whole before the break, like having that, this kind of authentic podcast, and we'd like to keep it this way. And there's nobody controlling this show, but because there's not, we got to find a way to pay for it. So by you contributing to our show, we are forever grateful for you, and we can keep this podcast going. So, you know, there's a lot of perks of becoming a certified fan. You get a certified fans page on Facebook, which kind of breaks things down. We can share pictures and stories and everything else over there a lot easier. And we have the More Mama's Boy show, which is our Thursday show. You can get a whole another episode for $6 a month. And I hope you don't see it as like a Netflix thing. I don't want you to see it like that, but I want you to see it as we're contributing to the show. They can continue to keep creating it, plus we get a benefit from it as well by being a certified fan, and that'll be your Thursday show called More Mama's Boy. You can join. There's a link in our podcast notes. You can go to certifiedmamasboy.com. You can text the word fans, F-A-N-S, to 888-Kramer-8. Join us, and we would love to see you over on More Mama's Boy. Okay, let's do an episode of What's Krames Spending His Cash On This Week? This is a new segment we're going to try. y'all know I don't like to spend money. It's not my favorite thing. It's my least favorite thing, actually, to spend money. I hate spending money. And this whole medical thing has been tricky on me because, and if you're new to our podcast, and just a quick refresher is that in the state of Maryland, they have something called the CICB, which is the criminal something investigation, criminal injury compensation board. And they will pay, if you've been assaulted, they will pay for, I think, your medical bills, but it's a very long process to get approved. And I don't really know how it works. So, and they won't even really tell me how it works until they get to my application, which they can't even get to for months and months and months. So it's really like me just spending money, and then we'll just see how this goes. And if you've been playing around now, like playing along at home with these doctor's visits, I mean, it's been pricey. Like, I'm wrapping up eye therapy this week, I think. I know they're going to want me to stay because my eyes are not doing well. Eye therapy alone is $300 a week, and I get two sessions. And it's been a total, I'm going to spend about $2,500 on just eye therapy alone so far. I don't know if there's going to be more of what they're going to want me to do. It's going to depend, I think, on how I see my numbers when I go back for my follow-up exam. But it's one of my biggest talking points in therapy right now is trying to manage. We're not even really, I mean, we're talking a little bit about the trauma, but most of it's honestly managing everything that I'm having to go through and make it work, because it's doctor's visits, it's the money, it's like the mind F that is like not feeling better, and like, am I ever going to feel better? And it's a lot. So with that said, my physical therapist is like, hey, you need to go see a neuropsychologist. And from my understanding, a neuropsychologist is someone that works with you once you are, once you have some kind of brain injury, and kind of helps you manage all of this. And I think it's mostly used for like people that are having a hard time, like getting back to work or like doing their, you know, their basic functions again, like just trying to manage the, you know, obviously there's somebody that understands the brain, how it works, and so you're working with them. And I'm like, hey, yeah, actually, that sounds really good, because what I'm struggling with, I don't know if this is ever going to get better. Mm-hmm. And it's really scary because it's now been over four months and I'm still very dizzy and my eyes hurt and I can't live a normal life right now. Like I am. And if y'all, there's no bullshit here. Like y'all watch me. Like I'm like, if you only listen to the radio show, I don't think you realize what this has been like, because it's coming in such small increments and I'm not having to, like, I can get in there. And luckily now we have a new producer that's come in too, and like, he's helping produce a lot of stuff up and we're getting it done. So I don't think the radio show is really sound affected, but if you're watching me, I mean, you're not watching me on social media, because honestly, I ain't doing shit. If you know, you listen to the podcast, you know that I've really been struggling with this. And so it's like getting to a point where I have some days, y'all, where I'm not good. I'm just, and most of it's coming from two things. Number one, this is costing me an exponential amount of money, and I don't know when it's going to end. I'm not sure. Like, obviously, if I'm spending money, I'm feeling better. I was having some good days there for a while, but now I'm just back to like bad days for like 2 weeks. It's like, if you're dizzy, just imagine your life, and then imagine like doing your life just dizzy and your eyes hurt after you try to look at any kind of screen or drive too much. Like it's a prison. I'm like a prison in my own life. So neuropsychologist, she's like, why don't you go see one? I said, okay, cool. Luckily, I've got a good relationship with Johns Hopkins, and I'm moving a lot of my care over to Johns Hopkins over the next couple of weeks. And Johns Hopkins is like the best of the best, right? No matter where you are, you've heard of Johns Hopkins Hospital, yes, and Johns Hopkins, yes, University. I don't think there is. There's not many better health systems than Johns Hopkins. So I'm excited to go over there and start to get, and they have a lot of specialists over there. They have a very, like, if you need the specialist of whatever kind, I've been to the hospital many times. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's huge. And it's like, no matter what, it's like, I have a ingrown toenail that also has, has diabetes. And you're like, that's really specific. Your toenail has diabetes. Like, yes. Like, okay, well, you actually have a specialist for that. So anyway, it's like, it's crazy. There's specialists for anything. So neuropsychology, right? I call my connect over at Johns Hopkins, and I'm like, hey, listen, my PT thinks I should go see a neuropsychologist. And I was thinking, maybe I should switch my regular therapy over to neuropsychology, and then I can just do, you know, those sessions instead of doing my regular therapy for a while. Mm-hmm. So they call me back on Friday and they're like, oh yeah, we can get you in. Unfortunately, we don't take your insurance, but if you want, this is a message. If you want to, we do have a self-pay plan. If you want to, come over, you know, do that yourself and just let us know. And I'm like, okay, well, that's how my therapy sessions are now. My therapist isn't a network, and it's like $140 a session, which is a lot, but I think a good therapist is worth it. So I'm like, maybe it's, you know, it's similar. And I guess I could just, you know, switch that money over to my, to this neuropsychologist. Mm-hmm. So I call him back and they say, yeah, no problem. We can get you in actually, because I do have a good relationship with John Hopkins there. We can get you in next week. And we can get you started. And I'm like, oh, this is great. She's like, yeah, the self-pay option is $900 a session.
Oh, jeez. What?
Y'all, they said $900 a session.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wow.
What? Like,
wow.
Like, why is self-pay even an option then? Because they don't take my insurance. So like, why would you even, who is like, I guess maybe some people just have that kind of money, but $900 a session. And I thought when she said $900, I thought she was going to be like, oh, that's a package of six or something, you know? And I'm like, okay, right. Well, that's reasonable or something. Mm-hmm. It's $900 a session.
That's so crazy.
I don't know. And I don't know.
You don't know if you would ever get reimbursed for that or not.
And that's the problem, y'all. It's like, if I knew the state was like, listen, spend away, mm-hmm, go get the right, best care in the world.
Right.
Like, I'd be like, cool, no problem. I would
literally go to it.
I can go do it. I wouldn't, honestly, it would take away 75% of the stress in my life right now if I knew the state would pick up everything. Yes. But since I don't, like, I can't go to a, I can't in good faith without, I mean, the anxiety at 900, you want to talk about going to see a psychologist. I would need another psychologist outside of that psychologist to go talk about how I'm spending $900 a session on my other psychologist. Like, I would need a whole nother therapy session afterwards about the money that I'm spending on the other therapist. It would, wouldn't.
It would give you so much anxiety.
Oh, it would kill me. It would literally kill me. So that, I don't know. That's the latest on the health stuff. I know a lot of you guys ask how I'm feeling and you want to be caught up. I'm not doing great. I'm not doing good. I'm not doing good. And that's the truth. And it's getting very expensive. And I don't know if she's supposed to call me this week, and I'm just going to be like, yo, so could I just do like one session and then just cram everything in that I need to know and we could just like get it done? You know, I don't know, but I need you talking about like sharing your story, man. Like, the healthcare system blows. It makes no sense. These prices make absolutely no sense. And I can't imagine even not having insurance. Like, thank God that like I can pay for most of my things with insurance. Yes. It's cost me $50 a visit, which is still a lot, but like, you know, it's way more manageable than $900. Mm-hmm. So listen, I know when you're going through anything chronic, or if you are dealing with a hospital visit, you know, that you weren't expecting, I can't imagine how much Maggie's hospital bill is going to be. Can't imagine.
Oh my goodness gracious.
It's going to be so stupid. So just know that, like, man, it sucks. It sucks. And it makes no sense. And I don't really have a lot of words of wisdom other than, you know, I mean, what else are we supposed to do?
I know.
Like, obviously, I don't have to go see a neuropsychologist. I think there are other higher things on my thing, but like $900 freaking. How much is Dad's chemo session, by the way? Or no, it was that pill he was taking.
$1,000.
How much?
It was $1,000 a pill.
And how many pills did he need a day? Was it a day?
Yeah, he was taking. No, he needed like 4 or 5 a month.
it was like $5,000 a month for one medication.
So crazy.
And how much is chemo with? Do you know how much that is?
I don't know. I think he does. I think he has some sense of it. But you know.
Yeah, he told me it's some astrological number he has to go get every month. Crazy.
We're always amazed every time we get a report from the insurance company about how much his treatment has cost. And we're like, what? So, you know, it's always in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes, it's crazy. It's crazy. So, anyway, hey, medical bills, if you want to bitch about it, you can hop in the DMs. I'm still, even though you can't respond to my story, you can always DM me. I'll get to you that day, I promise. that's what Crames is spending cash on this week. All right, let's do Ask My Mom. This is our advice segment, our weekly advice segment. I plan on having my dad on today, but I couldn't go through the headache of trying to get him on from home and my mom not being there. I wanted to talk football with us, but so I thought we'd do Ask My Mom instead. This is our advice segment where if you're ever going through a dilemma and you need some motherly advice, just go to certifiedmamasboy.com. You can hit contact us. And you can send us your dilemma. My mom will read it. She'll give you her best motherly advice. And then we, as your podcast family, hop in with our 2 cents. So what do we have today, Mom?
Dear Mama Nancy, I need some advice and knew you would handle this with a soft heart. And you have dealt with a lot of funerals. My 90-year-old mother gave me a list of the people she does not want at her wake or her funeral. The list had 7 people on it, and I don't know how I would even enforce it. One of the people is her sister, who she still talks to, but they happen to be in an argument at the moment. Then there's a woman she worked with that she had a falling out with, and of course my dad, who she's been divorced from for 30 years. He's 90 also, and both of them can go at any moment. I've been so torn with what to do about this. Do I obey her wishes and keep the people on her list out of her funeral? Or do I just let everyone that wants to come? None of the people on the list are that bad. They are just on my mom's S list right now. So what should I do?
Lord.
Well, you know, it's weddings and funerals. They're always so crazy, right? And we just bring out the worst in people. You know, this is how I feel about funerals. Funerals are for the living. They're not for the dead. They're for the survivors. They're for the ones of us that will continue on in our life. And so I always say, you know, do what's best for you and your family. And honestly, in this case, I would do my best to not promise her that I would do that, because then you'll have the guilt of I promised her and I didn't do it. But anyone can or cannot come to a funeral. It sounds like some of these people may not even want to be there. So, perhaps it's not as much of a problem as you think. But I would just say, no, just don't worry about it and just let it be. And if they come, they come. Hopefully no one will act out and stand up and, you know, turn the eulogy and say, oh, this woman was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that happens occasionally, but yeah, I would just not worry about it. I just wouldn't worry.
I mean, that's tough though. I mean, like if you came to me though and said that, and hey, here's a list of people I don't want to be at my funeral. Like I, so now being in her mom's shoes for a second, let's just imagine there's some people that scorned you or whatever, and you didn't want them there, and you gave me a list. You expect the answer still to be, I think, again, this is an easy thing to say when you take the emotion out of it, right? Everything you just said, I think, was really easy. There's no emotion behind it. But like, if my mom came to me and was like, hey, listen, here's a list of people I don't want to come to my funeral. Like, I don't know that, like, I would feel comfortable. I feel like you're going to haunt me over that. That's the kind of stuff y'all get haunted over. You know what I mean? Like, y'all want to talk about hauntings. That's how scary movies start.
Well, if I ever do something like that, you just tell me, Mom, get over it, because that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Get over it.
I mean, I'm thinking right now, listen, I got a mental list that I probably need to put in my iPhone or something about like people I don't want to come to my funeral. There's very specific people. It starts back at like second grade.
All right. Let me just tell you right now, it's not happening. So do with that list what you wish. I thank God. I mean, I hope to God I won't be here for that. But
yeah.
If I am, it's not happening.
Wait, but what do you then? So does she tell her mom that?
That it's
not happening? I'm not going to enforce this? Or does she, because again, if your mom's dead, like what's she going to do unless haunt you? If haunting is really a thing, then you got to worry about it.
You can just say, Mom, I don't know how I can enforce that. If you don't want them at your funeral, perhaps the best thing to do is for you to call them and let them know that you don't want them there. And then you can die in peace, because there's no way that I'm going to try to keep these people away.
Man, I just don't know. I just don't know if you just don't say anything about it at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like let it pass and then, big sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, Mom, no problem. Because I'm thinking like, why even say something? And like rock the boat. Like it's not you're gonna change your mom's mind. Be like, oh, go make up with these people. Like she's not gonna do that shit. Right. So, is it worth just not saying anything at all then over it?
Yeah, I mean that's fine too. Just don't.
Mm-mm. That's awkward. That's an awkward situation. Anybody got some advice on this? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to call us and give us your 2 cents, especially maybe somebody's been in a situation like this. Our number is 888-Kramer-8. It's 888-Kramer-8. You can call us, you can text us, or you can always go to Certified Fans page if you're on the page and give us your 2 cents. I always screenshot or send the messages over to people that write in. So thank you for taking time to do that. All right, Mom, that's going to do it for you today. I love you.
I love you forever, honey.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's a weird day to be single. I think I'm going to talk about this on the radio show, but I've never really handled Valentine's Day well. And I was at the grocery store this weekend, and I just, like, got the ick. I feel like the more Valentine's Days I go not being in a relationship, the more I'm having a hard time, like, relating to it. Does that make sense? It's just, and I'm not, like, opposed to it. I'm not like, oh, yeah, like I think you should. If you're in a relationship, you should absolutely take time to like celebrate your partner. But like, if you're not in a relationship, and if you're a guy specifically, y'all can do Galentine's Day. Y'all got that. But like, as a guy, like, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm not even sure. All right. Hey, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll see you on Thursday for more Mama's Boy. It's our Thursday show, fan supported. Hopefully you'll come join us over there. If not, have a great weekend. We'll do this again on Tuesday.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to my son's podcast, Certified Mama's Boy. Be sure to review and subscribe and tell your friends. Love you forever.